I love it when a plan comes together. I mean, and what I mean by that, I love it when the offertory, the Brother Wayne and the ladies played, the Lord of the Mountains is the God of the Mountains, is also the God of the Valleys. And then that last song that Brother Wendell sang, I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand, goes right along with the message that the Lord laid on my heart for this week. It comes from that 22nd verse of the 55th Psalm that we read a moment ago. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'll start this morning by just reminding you that everybody has some burden that God has called them to bear. We read from a psalm that David wrote, a time in his life when he had some burdens that he was bearing. Now again, David was a great man. The Bible says he was a man after whose heart was like God's heart, a man after God's own heart. He loved God. He wrote most of the psalms, but David had burdens. In this particular time, he talked about the enemy. He talked about the oppression of the wicked. He talked about the iniquity that they'd cast upon him and the fact that they hated him. He talked about how his heart was pained and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. He said in verse 6, he said, I wish I had wings like a dove. If I had wings like a dove, I'd just fly away into the wilderness, and I'd find a place where I'd be apart from everything that's going on, and I can just be at rest. Sometimes we feel the same way. Sometimes the burdens mount up so much on us that we just want to escape. We too wish we had wings like a bird that we could just fly away and find a peaceful spot in the wilderness, a peaceful spot in the country where we could just go and leave all our burdens behind. Some people say, I don't understand how a God that loves us can let us have burdens. But they misunderstand the nature of God. It's part of God's plan for all of our lives to at different times in our lives to have burdens. These people that say, well, God loves us so much, and if I'm trying to serve God, why would he allow burdens to come into my life? Well, again, just look at the people in the Bible whose story that God records. Again, David was a good guy. Now, again, he wasn't perfect. There were some times he fell away from God, but for the most part, he served God, and yet he had burdens. The Apostle Paul, a church starter, a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist, a missionary, he had burdens. He wrote in the book of 2 Corinthians, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily. He said, I have burdens that I have to bear every single day. And Paul faced the persecution. He faced the oppression of those that were against Christianity. Jeremiah, a prophet of God, he wrote in chapter 8, verse 15, we look for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. I mean, it got so bad in Jeremiah's life one time, he says, man, with all these burdens in my life, I cannot continue to do what God wants me to do. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to stop being a prophet. I'm going to stop being a preacher of God. And then he later wrote, he said, hey, I can't do that. I've tried to stop, but it's like a fire within me. It's got to come out. I got to do what God told me to do in spite of the burdens that he's allowed to come into my life. What about Job? A man that loved God, a man that hated evil. God said there was no man like him in the day that he lived. And yet, what a tremendous amount of burdens that God allowed to come into his life. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. Lost everything that he thought was good in his life. Ezekiel, another prophet, his wife had a stroke and died. Mary and Martha, two friends of Jesus, close personal friends of Jesus. And yet their brother, Lazarus, died. I mean, everybody had troubles. Moses had troubles. David had troubles. Joseph had troubles. Daniel's had troubles. To say that if God loves us, we're never going to have any troubles is to miss the lessons that he puts in his word. Everybody's going to have burdens. Everybody's going to have troubles. And we could go around the room this morning. There's some troubles and burdens in this room this morning that you don't know about, that I know about only because I'm the pastor and people tell me things that they don't tell other people. But I can look around the room and I can see people and the burdens that are in their life. And everybody has burdens. Everybody does. Some here this morning are suffering the burden of lost loved ones. People in their family that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. People in their family that are headed for hell. And by the way, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are headed for hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the only way that we can get our sins forgiven is to come to Jesus Christ. And so if you don't know Christ, you are headed for an eternity apart from God. But there are people in this room this morning that every day of their life, they pray and they weep for a lost spouse, or for a lost child, or for a lost parent, or for a lost grandchild, for somebody that they love, that they know, that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that's a burden in their life. And by the way, that should be a burden in our life. We should be burdened by those in our family. We should be burdened by those that we love that don't know Christ. It ought to drive us to our knees. It ought to drive us to prayer. We ought to weep those tears. That verse in Psalm promises, he that goeth forth and with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. We need to weep and pray over those in our family that don't know Christ. But that's a burden that some of us have in our life. Others here this morning bear the burden of ill health. There's something in their life or something in the life of somebody that they love that they just can't get over from a health standpoint. And some of our loved ones are close to death. Some of them are close to going to heaven. That's a burden that we bear this morning. Some have the burden of problems in their marriage. They can't get along. Now, let me tell you, if you as a husband and a wife are both Christians, you ought to figure out how to get along. You have the same Savior. You have the same Holy Spirit. God's not the author of confusion. And it's a shame when a Christian husband and a Christian wife can't get along. It's a poor testimony for Christ. Just figure out how to get along. Figure out how to be a Christian. Figure out how to keep the vows that you made to your spouse. But there are some in our church that don't have a Christian husband or don't have a Christian wife. And so they bear the burden of trying to serve Christ without their partner joining them. They bear the burden of trying to be a Christian without the support of the one that they love the most on this earth. Others here have financial burdens. They struggle to get by. They struggle to pay the bills. They struggle to provide for their family. And so the question of the hour this morning, the question of my message is, what do we do when burdens come? What do we do? How do we handle the burdens that God allows to come into our life? Well, before I tell you how to handle them, let me tell you what not to do. Okay? Let me just mention a couple things about what not to do when burdens come. First of all, don't doubt God. When burdens come into your life, don't doubt God. Look, we're saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to live by that same faith. We need to walk by that same faith. When burdens come, God is still God. When burdens come, God is still in charge. When burdens come, God is still sitting on the throne. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't you think for a minute that Satan has rushed into heaven, has overthrown God, and now has complete charge and can do anything in our lives that he wants. That is a lie straight from hell. We need to realize, regardless of what's going on in our life, God is still God. He still sits on the throne. He's still in charge. We pray when we have burdens. And sometimes we think, well, God doesn't even hear me. My prayers are not getting past the ceiling. My prayers are not entering into heaven. And why should I pray? If God's not going to hear me, it's not going to do any good. Again, that's Satan trying to discourage you. That's Satan trying to get you down. We just need to keep our faith. And where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. You know what you ought to do more than anything else? When you're overwhelmed by the burdens in your life, you ought to get into that book, and you ought to stay into that book, and let that book build your faith. Let that book remind you that God's still God. Let that book remind you that He still sits on the throne. Let that book remind you that He's still in charge. And nothing comes into our life unless God allows it. So don't doubt God. Number two, don't complain. Don't complain. David said in verse 2, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. I want to tell you something this morning. God does not like His children to complain. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, the Bible says the Israelites began to complain. They were in the wilderness. They were wandering so that all those that sinned would die, so they could go into the promised land. And they were complaining. They were complaining how hard their travels were. They were complaining that they were hungry. Sort of reminded me of my kids when we go on vacation, and when we were poor and we had to drive wherever we went. They were always complaining. When are we going to get there? When are we going to eat? That's what the Israelites were doing. They were complaining, and God got so tired of it. He said, I got to stop this. Now, I never tried this, Wendell. Maybe I should. He sent a bunch of snakes. They began to bite the Israelites. They began to die. I had a kid I went to grade school with. He'd come up to you and say, tap you real hard in the shoulder and say, did that hurt? Of course it didn't hurt. Then he'd stomp on your foot and said, did that hurt? I said, yeah, that really hurt. God said, you think you got it hard? You think you got it hard walking through the wilderness? You think you got it hard eating this food? Let me show you what hard is. And so He sent those fiery serpents, and they begin to bite people, and they begin to die. And God had to have Moses make that brazen serpent and lift it up so that anybody that looked at the brazen serpent would be healed. Jesus referred to that when He was talking about Nicodemus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God doesn't like it when His children complain. Complaining doesn't help things. Complaining doesn't fix things. Complaining don't make burdens go away. So don't complain. And then number three, don't quit. Don't quit. David didn't quit. I mean, yeah, he had some times where he said, I wish I had wings like a dove so I could fly away and find a place of rest. But he said, I'm going to keep going because I know that my God will sustain me. Paul had burdens. Oh, the Apostle Paul had a lot of burdens. And yet at the end of his life, he could say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've run the race that God wanted me to run. Jeremiah didn't quit. I talked about it before. When those burdens came and he did quit, he said, I couldn't stay quit for very long. It was like a fire that built up in my soul. I had to let it out. I had to keep doing what God called me to do. Job didn't quit. He wrote, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. He's taken everything away from me. I have nothing left. And if He takes my life, I'm still going to trust my God. He did not quit. Ezekiel said, my wife died in the evening, and in the morning I did as I was commanded. You look at the people in this book who God has put their story in this book for our edification, for our learning, for an example to us. They had burdens, and yet they endured. They had burdens, and they didn't quit. They had burdens, and they kept going. Burdens are going to come. Burdens are going to dwell with us. But we can't say, well, I'm done. I'm going to quit. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So when the burdens come, don't doubt God. Don't complain. Don't quit. Okay, preacher, what should I do? All right, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, I have 3 points for that, too. Man, you're getting a bonus this morning, a sermon with 6 points. Somebody ought to say amen. Thank you. When burdens come, here's what we ought to do. Number one, we ought to remember that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. If you're a Christian this morning, you love God. You have been called according to His purpose. And every burden, every problem, every heartache that comes, God has a purpose for. He would not send it. He would not allow it in our life unless He's up to something in our lives. Now, we may not be able to discern what He's up to. We may not be able to discern what he's working on. Even when He gets done and the burdens go away, we may look at that time in our life and still say, I don't understand why God allowed me to bear this burden. I don't understand why God let me go through this. But this verse says that we can know that whatever God does, however the burdens come, however the heartaches come, however the sorrows come, God has a purpose and He will work it out for good. Now, most of the time, the burdens are not good. Most of the time, the heartaches are not good of themselves. But work together in God's purpose, they are good. I don't like to eat flour by itself. It's kind of dry, but you haven't tried it. I don't like to eat shortening by itself, kind of greasy if you had never tried it. I don't particularly like to eat salt by itself. But I don't like baking soda by itself. But you mix all those things together and you stick them in the oven and you get a little butter and a lot of honey and you have good biscuits and butter and honey. By themselves, the ingredients are not very good. By themselves, I would not recommend eating the ingredients. I'd recommend the biscuits. Butter, honey, jelly, gravy. Oh man, we had good gravy yesterday morning. I'm getting hungry. What time is it? Get done. The burdens are not good, but the biscuits are. God knows what He's doing. He has a purpose. Know that all things work together for good. Number two, realize that His grace is sufficient. Paul had a burden. Paul had a burden. Three times he went to the Lord and said, God, take it away. I could be a better Christian. I could be a better missionary. I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher if you just take this burden away. We're not told in the Bible what that burden is. Some people think it was Paul suffered epileptic seizure. Some people think it was his eyes. But we don't know. But he went to God, and three different times he said, God, just remove this burden from me. Just take it away from me. And God each time said, no, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. But he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Amen. I'm not going to take it away, but I'll be there with you. I'm not going to take it away, but I'll give you strength to bear it. I'm not going to take it away, but I'll use it to drive you closer to me. And so Paul says, well, I'm not going to complain anymore. In fact, I'm going to quit asking God to take it away. I'm just going to know that His grace is sufficient. God will not keep us out of the fiery furnace, but He'll be there just like He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He will not keep us out of the lion's den, but He'll be there with us just like He was with Daniel. God won't keep us out of the wilderness, but just like He did for the Israelites, He'll feed us and clothe us and give us shade in the day and fire by night to keep us warm. He won't keep us out of the flood, but He'll be the ark. He won't keep us out of the battle, but He'll be our God. God won't, our guard. God will not remove our burdens, but in our burdens, He will give us comfort. In our burdens, He will give us strength. In our burdens, He will give us grace so that we're able to bear it and keep going. Amen. And then number three. You might say, well, number three's got to be cast your burden upon the Lord. No. By doing these things, that's what we're doing. We're casting our burden upon the Lord. When we realize that all things work together for good. When we realize that His grace is sufficient. And then number three, when we rejoice. Amen. When we rejoice in the middle of the burdens, we need to praise God. When burdens come, we need to praise Him. When the trials come, we need to say, glory to God. Hallelujah. When heartaches come, we need to say, God sure is good. Amen. At our men's breakfast yesterday, we not only had good food with the biscuits and gravy and eggs and all the other things we had to eat. We heard a tremendous testimony from Brother Jeff Woodward. He talked about a time in their life where when sickness came to Kim and financial reversal came and they just lost about everything that they had. Brother Jeff talked about how close that drew them to the Lord. And he talked about rejoicing in that time and saying and praising God and saying how good God is in the time of burdens. And that's when we cast our burdens on the Lord, that's what we do. We know that all things work together for good. We realize His grace is sufficient and we rejoice. There's an old song that says, if you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. David said in that in our text verse, cast your burden on the Lord. Some say, hey, so what that means is I take the burden out of my life and I take it to God and I give it to God and I no longer have to suffer with it. That's not what that verse means. If God sends a burden into your life, if God sends a burden into my life, we do not have the ability to take that burden out of our life and give it to God. What that verse means is I cast my burden on the Lord. I realize that all things work together for good. I realize that His grace is sufficient. I realize that I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because He sent me that burden. Because that means that He's trying to work something out in my life. He's trying to draw me closer to the Lord. He's trying to prove to me that He's still God. He's trying to prove to me that He has a plan and purpose for my life. And the only way that plan and purpose can be accomplished is through that burden. And so when I cast my burden on the Lord, it doesn't mean I get rid of my burden. It just means I realize that God has come and says, hey, I'm going to be with you as we bear this burden. That's what it means. Now listen, there's some people here that have a great burden, and that burden is the burden of sin. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says the wage of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And some here this morning, not many, but a few, are here this morning. They bear the burden of sin. They are still under the condemnation of sin. You need to cast that burden to the Lord. Now, this is different than what I was just talking about. Because you can cast your sin burden on the Lord and get rid of it completely out of your life. It's not a burden you need to continue to bear. It's a burden that you can give to Jesus Christ and He'll take it and bear it for you. In fact, He already has. He did that when He went to Calvary's cross. When He hung on the cross, God the Father placed all of our sin upon His Son. He bore our sin and He paid for our sin on Calvary's cross. That's why he could tell us in John chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get rid of your sins any other way. You don't get rid of your sins by being good. You don't get rid of your sins by joining the church. You don't get rid of your sins by being baptized. The only way you get rid of your sins is to come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior. That's the only way. No other way to get rid of sins. You still, your sin burden has been paid for, and yet you are here this morning. You're still carrying that burden around. I don't understand why people would do that. I don't understand why people would continue to carry the burden of sin, still face an existence on this earth. As Brother Wendell said a moment ago, I don't know how people live their life on this earth without Jesus Christ. I don't know how they make it without Him. And yet, people here, there's some people here this morning, even though the burden of sin has been paid for, and even though the burden of sin can be lifted from their life, they still bear it, and they live their life on this earth without Jesus Christ, and they face an eternity without Jesus Christ. Listen, I tell you this morning, I say to you this morning, you can get rid of that burden. You can get rid of that burden once and for all. You can get rid of that burden forever by coming to Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your Savior. He'll lift that burden of sin. He's already bore it. He's already paid for it, but He'll lift that burden of sin. He'll make you one with the Father. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. You'll have His presence here on this earth. And when you leave this earth, you'll go into His presence to dwell for eternity. For eternity. Don't bear the burden of sin. Cast it upon the Lord. Give it to Him. He's already paid for it. Get rid of it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making the gospel so, so simple that we can understand it, that you loved us. Our sins separated us from you, but you loved us and you sent Jesus to die for us. And if we simply trust Him, you'll make us, again, part of your family. You'll make us one of your children. We'll become a child of the King, like we sang about a moment ago. We'll have heaven to look forward to. I'm grateful and thankful for the many folks that are here this morning that have already got rid of that burden of sin. They've already trusted Christ. They're already a Christian. They're part of the family. But Father, I pray for those few that might be here this morning that have never done that. They've never trusted Christ. They've never accepted the gift that He purchased for them on Calvary. They've never come to Jesus and believed on Him. And I pray in the next few moments, Holy Spirit, you'd help them to do that. Right where they sat, right at this moment, they would admit their sin. They would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they call upon Him to be saved. And so I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. You'd speak to the hearts of those that still bear that burden of sin. But then, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to all of us. Help us to realize that burdens are part of your plan for our life. Help us to bear them, knowing that we don't bear them alone, but we bear them with one that loves us and has a purpose for every one of them. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd bless this invitation. If people need to make a decision, if they're here and they don't know Christ, help them to come. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If they're here and they've never been baptized, help them to come. If they're here and you're talking to them about joining the church, help them to come. Help us to listen. Maybe they just need to come spend some time in prayer at the altar. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit leads us to do this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.